This is the Mizzou Sports Podcast, presented by the Columbia Daily Tribune.
Okay, welcome viewers and listeners to another edition of the Mizzou Sports Podcast. We're going right after the Kentucky game. Danny Jones here with Cameron Teague Robinson. Mizzou just beat Kentucky for the first time in program history, 69-60. First time ever that Mizzou's won two games back-to-back, 69-60.
Yeah.
Made that really a weird note in my little post-game story.
John T. Porter actually went, he's got 13 points today and 13 points against Alabama, back-to-back 13-point games.
Strange.
Yeah.
A lot of coincidences today.
Yeah.
But what were just your initial takeaways from a big win for Mizzou, which moved to 15-8 and back to 500 in the SEC?
Do we want to go get this question first, or do we want to do this first?
Ooh. Why don't you?
We can do this real quick.
Yeah, why don't you answer that question real fast?
Paul Wade asks how many potential recruits attended the game today. I know for sure Isaiah Mosley, who's a 2019 forward wing player from Rockbridge, was here. Torrance Watson from St. Louis was here. Xavier Pinson, who's a 2018 guard from Chicago, from Simeon High School, was here. He was actually supposed to announce his commitment on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
He tweeted out, before he even left the building today, that he is pushing that up to Monday. Seems like a good sign. Also, top 50 point guard, I want to say B.J. Carter, 2019 point guard, was here as well.
Okay.
So those are the four that I know of for sure. There may have been others, but
so
those
there,
are the four I know of
there
for
were
sure.
A couple potential recruits that saw Mizzou beat Kentucky on the
right, and in a crazy atmosphere. So
yeah, that was – we should – ooh, well – that's on the Facebook Live.
Oh, sorry. Sorry, Paul. That's on the Facebook Live.
So we'll just you just got to talk a little bit louder.
Yeah,
that's
I'll
all.
Just talk louder. I will actually move closer to the computer.
that's
there,
better.
If you can hear me, Paul, there are four that I know of. Torrance Watson, Xavier Pinson, B.J. Carter, and Isaiah Mosley. Two 2018 guys. Torrance Watson's already signed. Xavier Pinson pushed up his – there you go. Xavier Pinson pushed up his commitment to Monday. He's a 2018 point guard. And then two 2019 recruits in Isaiah Mosley and B.J. Carter.
On the podcast, so, we'll just go back and edit all that out.
Yeah, or you can just listen to it twice.
Or you can listen to it twice.
Maybe you missed something.
Okay, now we'll go to your initial takeaways from the game.
Yeah, tremendous defensively. I thought this was probably one of their best defensive – I thought that was this is their best one of their best defensive efforts today or this season.
Yeah.
Especially the first half. 18 points to give up against this Kentucky team is pretty impressive.
Mm-hmm.
A team that's very athletic and can do so much offensively. What they did on Kevin Knox was incredible.
Yeah.
Holding him to 5 points. They weren't tremendous offensively, but 20 turnovers wasn't great. But when you're playing defense the way they were that game, you really don't have to.
Right.
They made shots when they needed to. Anytime Kentucky cut it to three or four down the stretch, Cassius hit a big three. I remember. I know Jonte hit a big three. They just seemed to answer whatever Kentucky did. And it was almost identical to the Alabama game. I mean, identical score.
Yeah.
Whenever Alabama had an answer, had a run, Kentucky answered. Or Missouri answered. They did the same thing today.
I thought it was so. A couple things. First of all, you mentioned Kevin Knox.
Yep.
That was big. It was even if he
booed every play,
right,
every time he touched the ball.
It ended up being a big part of the game because Kentucky's leading scorer only had 5 points,
right,
but he was getting booed every time he touched the ball. Which I don't know if that's necessarily fair or not. I don't. Maybe it did affect the way he played.
It's probably a question better served for Jeremiah Tillman. When somebody asked that question in the press conference, and I was like, that's probably a better question for Jeremiah, considering that happened to him when he was at Illinois.
Yeah.
Just not to throw him under the bus. But
the difference there is Jeremiah Tillman was committed to Illinois.
Yeah, right. No, I agree.
And signed and backed out. But with Kevin Knox, I mean.
He just thought about coming here. He came here for a visit.
Kevin Knox had been recruited by North Carolina, Duke, Kentucky, Florida State for
only
a year.
Only came a visit here because of Michael.
At the very, very end.
Yeah.
So I think I can understand why Missouri fans were excited about him.
Right.
I don't know if it needed to go to booing. I don't think it was that big a deal, honestly, just because players get booed all the time, and
that's just
something you have to deal with. But anyway, that was just a big part of the game today was Kevin Knox, regardless of how well he played, just him being back at Mizzou.
Right.
Didn't end up having a big impact on the game, which was huge because he's the Wildcats' leading scorer. You mentioned – so I kind of wrote about that a little bit, but you mentioned in your game story –
the turnover. So Missouri led. They held Kentucky to 18 first half
points. Yeah, they were up 10 at halftime, and Kentucky comes out and just punches them in the face. Just, I think they're not literally, but I mean, they cut the lead to 1 in like 3 minutes.
Yeah.
Mizzou answers again. Ajante Porter 3 cut, brought it back to 4. Mm-hmm. And it's a really big possession, and Cullen Van Leer makes an incredible defensive play. I mean, you're just watching it, and you're seeing him stick with Kevin Knox around all these off-ball screens.
Yeah.
And they try to do almost like a handoff to Kevin Knox, and Cullen Van Leer almost kind of lunges at it, tips it, dives on the floor and tips it enough to keep the ball alive, where Jonte gets it and goes coast to coast for the layup, and then boom, 6, and then another basket, and it's a 9-point game.
Right, yeah.
And that was pretty much all it wrote. All she wrote after that.
Yeah, Missouri never really looked like they were – they had control of the game. They looked for that two-minute stretch when Kentucky came back right at the beginning of the second half. Right. They kind of lost control of the game a little bit. But after that turnover, they got that bucket. They were in control
And even when – down the stretch when Kentucky started to press, I still didn't feel like Missouri lost control. I think just because of when Missouri's played this year, you're like – they might lose this game.
Yeah.
But I still think they had control for the most part. And when you knock down free throws at the rate they have been, you're going to win most games.
Right. It was kind of reminiscent, too, not only of other Missouri games this year, but of the women's basketball game on Thursday against Mississippi State, where they held a great offensive team to something like 20, 24 points in the first half.
Right.
And then just kind of let that lead dissolve early part of the third quarter, and never, you know, they never held that upper hand.
Right,
even
right.
though they competed, they got it back level. They lost that edge that they had in the first half. The men today did a good job of getting that edge back. You mentioned that turnover was big. I think that was just a turning point in the momentum of the game,
right, right.
and maybe gave Missouri some belief.
Yeah, and I don't think Kentucky just couldn't answer anything Mizzou did. I thought Missouri was by far the tougher team today. They got to most of the 50-50 balls that they wanted to get to. I thought Kevin Perry was tremendous on the offensive glass.
Yeah, for sure.
It just looked like they wanted this win more than Kentucky wanted this win.
I think another big thing that happened today that was different was Jordan Barnett was a big part of the game for the entire 40 minutes.
Yeah,
he made some really big shots down the stretch, got a couple of and-ones, hit a couple of threes. At times this season, he's been really big and then kind of faded later in the game when they needed big buckets. But today, he was an impact player from start to finish. He and Cassius both had 16 points.
Yeah.
It's
nice to see both of them
huge.
get on track together.
Yeah.
I was writing that in my postgame blog right before we did this, was that this first time since Auburn where those two have both been finishing double figures.
Yeah.
And you can't have that from those two. I mean, those are your two best scorers.
Yeah.
You got to have those two get going. So it's nice to see both of them on the same page.
Another thing, so we talked a little bit about Jonte, but he had 13. It's the first time he's had back-to-back double-digit games since the Advocare Invitational back in November. Also had 8 rebounds, so he had a really big day. Jeremiah Tillman was really good. He had 9 points and 5 rebounds, but his work defensively today, he also made all 4 of his shots. His work on defense today was
– he also played 22 minutes.
Outstanding.
Yeah,
he was really, really good on defense.
Yeah.
Had a big block right at the end. He pinned the ball up against the backboard. So I think – that is a really encouraging sign. He's played a lot better since their loss here against Auburn. That was kind of the low point for him this year, I think, where he played 9 minutes. Just, you know, every time he came into the game, he was fouling and he couldn't get anything going on offense. But since then, he's played a lot better. He's focused. He's able to play effective defense without fouling, which is so huge for this team to have that presence down low.
I agree. Yeah, he played tremendous today. I think, like I've said this all year, and I think this is completely true. I think when the post players for this team are going, this is a very, very good team because those post players open everything. You saw Kentucky had to double the post all game long, and that just leaves people open. Now, Missouri didn't do a great job exposing the double team because Jeremiah seemed like flustered at some point. Sometimes when the double team came.
Yeah.
But when they are able to do that, it just opens up so much more for everybody else.
Yeah. Before we do have another question here, but before we get to that, since that's kind of looking forward a little bit more, what does this do for Mizzou? You know, we were all this whole season, we're always looking big picture. Okay, where does this put them in terms of the NCAA tournament? What does this do for them in the SEC? What does this win do for Missouri big picture? First win ever against Kentucky.
You talking like tournament picture or
either
program? I think it's big. I mean, both sides. I think this is a big thing when you have recruits in this building.
Yeah.
to see a full house, to see the student section, literally we're like right in front of the student section.
That was the fullest I've seen the student section in a really long time. Right. It was every row, every seat in the whole section was
right.
full.
And then recruits who aren't even here see pictures or videos from it. And then you beat Kentucky here. I think they see, and then you, the way the coaching job Council Martin's done this year, it's been tremendous.
Yeah.
I think that does a lot for just the perception of the program to recruits. On top of that, NCAA-wise, I mean, we were talking about it during the game. I mean, I would imagine this team is, if they just do what they're supposed to the rest of, win the games you're supposed to the rest of the SEC season, I think they're a lock. I mean, honestly, I don't know how. I mean, if they do that, they'll probably finish top 40 in RPI with right now three top 50 RPI wins, and Alabama just beat Florida by 18 at Florida, which is going to help you even more.
Yeah.
I don't see how you keep this team out of the tournament unless they just fall apart down the stretch.
I think what I felt like when the conference season started was, and maybe it was a couple games in.
I think we talked about after the Illinois game.
Maybe it was after the Illinois game. If Mizzou is able to go 500 in the SEC with the way the league is this year, they're so deep. There's no bad losses in this league.
Yeah.
And there's the opportunity for a lot of good wins. If Mizzou wins half their games, that they would be safe. And I still feel that way, especially now. And if you go 500 in the league, you're going to get wins like this one. You're going to get wins like at Alabama. That's just, if you win nine games in the league, some of those are going
to
be impressive.
Benefit that they don't have to play Vandy here, not to discredit Vandy, but like they're the worst team in the SEC.
So that would
be
potentially
your bad
loss. The worst loss.
But, yeah, but if that's a loss on the road,
it's not too bad.
Looked on that bad. So I think I said it in a podcast that day. I think they win 10, they're in. I think they win 9 and win 1 in St. Louis they're in.
Yeah.
So
either way,
they're in a really good spot right now.
They're in good shape. Yep. And they've got – you look at what Alabama did today and what Kentucky did today.
And the Tennessee's continuing to get better.
Right. Mizzou's caught a lot of teams at good times.
Yeah, exactly.
I think they caught Alabama at a little bit of a complacent level. Yeah. After they just beat Oklahoma, they're playing at home, they're comfortable. Missouri just goes in and gets them on a good net where they don't shoot very well. Yep. Kentucky was the same way today.
Yep.
Almost, I mean, they went 2 of 20 from three, had just gotten a couple big wins. Like, they escaped from Vanderbilt, like, by the skin of their teeth. And so they come in today. You texted me, what's it going to be like if Kentucky comes in mad?
Pissed off,
Well, you didn't get them mad. You got them complacent, and they shot like it. So I think they've gotten a couple teams just on really good nights, and they've made the most of it. That's one other thing real quick. I see your question, Bill. We will answer it. You know, maybe it's biased just because we only see this program and we only see the changes that this program has undergone. Do you think Konzo Martin is a candidate for Coach of the
100%.
Year?
Yes, 100%. I was thinking about this today.
You mentioned Konzo Martin, the job he's done today.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Bruce Pearl. And I don't know. I'm thinking Bruce Pearl's probably the lead right now just because of what he's done with that program.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But with Konzo, what he's done with this program – this year when you lose a point guard in Blake Harris, CJ Roberts, you play a red shirt, whatever, he's gone. Terrence Phillips, that whole debacle, gone. Michael Porter Jr. plays 2 minutes, gone. He's supposed to be your All-American. Konzo Martin is playing coaching a team that has 8 scholarship players, and this is mostly, I mean, to be honest, it's Kim's team plus Cassius is tremendous.
Right.
Jeremiah and Jonte, tremendous. But this is a team with 8 scholarship players. You have 3 guards.
Yeah.
I don't understand. Konzo is right up there, in my opinion, probably second to Bruce Pearl, and in the terms of Coach of the Year conversation.
And you're talking about SEC, but I think even across the country.
Yeah, 100%.
I mean, there's been some really good, like, you know, Matt Painter at Purdue, there's really, really, really good teams out there, and those are tough coaching jobs. But a lot is going on. The Coach of the Year, you know, you look at coaches that win those kinds of awards, a lot of it is rewarding coaches who have turned a team around.
Right, yeah.
So I think Konzo Martin's done that better than almost any other coach in the country.
I agree.
Okay. Bill Koplis with a question. Challenges Ole Miss will provide Tuesday, and they will play that game. That'll be at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is not one of the better teams in the SEC, but you got to go back on the road.
Right, yeah. And Ole Miss has struggled a lot. I think they've lost 4 of the last 5. 5 of the last 6? I was just looking at it, actually. Mm-hmm. 4 of the last 5. They beat Alabama at home by 12. Since starting the SEC play, they've been just struggling a lot. I mean, they're a guard-heavy team, a team that's going to pressure you, a team that has some guards that can score incredibly well, including DeAndre Burnett.
Yeah, who's been one of the leading scorers in the league for a couple years.
Yeah,
now.
Exactly. So they're going to have to slow him down. I think it's a game where, I mean, I don't think Missouri should lose that game. And you mentioned ability to get up for that game after two wins this week. I don't see that as a problem with this team, to be honest with you.
I think they still, if Kanza Martin has taught them well, I think they'll still play with a pretty big chip on their shoulder.
I agree.
Just because this energy is new.
Right.
You know what I mean?
It's
they look like a beaten down team last week in the loss to Mississippi State, especially. They kind of have some newfound energy, and I still feel like they still have a lot to prove. Like they really haven't done enough yet to get into the tournament accomplish your goals.
Right, and if you're Jordan Barnett or you're Kevin Perrier or you're Reed Nico for somebody else, like, you are here when this team is terrible. Like, I would feel like you always feel like you have something to prove. I don't think they go in there complacent. I think they go in there, take care of business, and get on a three-game win streak.
Yeah. Okay, one more comment here, and then I think we'll probably wrap up.
Okay.
Paul Wade, is there a chance of bringing a guy like Cassius in again for next year? I don't just mean for his age, but a guy who can shoot. We're about to lose Barnett and Robertson, their presence outside makes a lot of offense possible. I don't know where that shooting comes from next year.
You're losing a lot on the wings, but I think Missouri's done a pretty good job of recruiting wings. Torrance Watson will be that guy for Missouri next year. He's a guy who goes to Whitfield now. He scores on every level. Tremendous shooter. Can get his mid-range is where he kind of needs the most improvement, but he can get to the basket, do a lot of things. There will be an adjustment period for him because he's only going to be 18 years old, but he's going to be the guy that I think by this time next year, like, you'll see him be. He's the guy for this team scoring-wise. But they also have a few other guys. Javon Pickett's going to be healthy. He had to sit out his year in JUCO because he tore his labrum, but he'll be back. Santos,
you did a story.
KJ Santos. He'll be here as well. He's not more of an outside scorer. He kind of does a little bit of. He's kind of a tweener in between. So you have those three, and then you still have some more recruiting that you can do. So I think they have replaced that portion. Now it's going to be hard to replace what Cassius and Barnett bring away. I don't think you'll see that production from those guys in game one.
Right. Yeah. I think Cassius is a unique pickup because not only is he a great shooter, but he's a unique personality.
Right.
He, on this team, brings something that nobody else brings.
Right.
I think it's pretty evident in the post-game press conferences and when you talk to him that Mizzou didn't have a player like him on that team last year. Somebody who just hates losing, despises losing.
Hates it.
Cassius is more of an emotional leader on this team than anybody else.
Right,
he's a unique personality, but I think there are going to be other names that pop up in the grad transfer market. I don't know how active Missouri.
Trent Williams is one of them he's gotten some big Power 5 Division 1 interest. He's going to start getting some. He's a point guard from Gillette College. I think we talked about it on our last podcast. He's another one who can help come in and kind of fill that point guard role.
Right. So there might be other people in the grad transfer market that could come in and make an impact, but that's kind of something that happens after the season's over.
And I don't want to squash Missouri fans' hopes. But if you're hoping to just pull up and get another Cassius Robertson next year, it's not going to happen.
I think it's very difficult.
Tough. It's very difficult.
It's unique.
In that grad transfer market because he has come in and just been incredible.
He's a national leader in some categories.
In scoring for grad transfers.
In terms of grad transfers, lot of those guys are guys who are, I don't know. There's not very many guys like him that play at that sort of level.
Right.
For that long, and then can come to the SEC and have the impact that he's
had. Because most of the time they come in as role players, which that's what Cassius was supposed to be with Michael here.
Right.
But, I mean, things happen. Cassius has stepped up. I think he's one of those guys who I think he's without a doubt an all SEC guy.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Catch us later this week when we talk more about Missouri's upcoming game against Mississippi and then this weekend against
Mississippi State. Yep. Radley Ryan game. Yep.
All right. Thanks for tuning in.
Be sure and subscribe to Mizzou's Sports Podcast at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher.